This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
Welcome to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us as Deb talks with her guests, experts in their fields, as they share real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
Good morning, good morning. I am Deb Creer, and I am passionate about giving professionals the tools that they need to make themselves and their businesses as successful as possible. And this is the second program in our LinkedIn series, and I am so excited because we have the LinkedIn expert, and she is known as that. I love it. I love it. So please join me in welcoming Vivica von Rosen to our program today. Welcome, Vivica.
Hello, it's good to be back.
I love it. We have had you on the program before, and it has been too long, darling. We need to remedy that and chat at least once a year.
I think so.
We have great fun, but because you have such important content and knowledge to share, and I just love it because you do. You are the LinkedIn expert, so it's so much fun.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and LinkedIn keeps changing, so.
I know, yeah. Where'd that button go? Hey, they've added new fields all these days.
Exactly. You
know, gotta love it. Well, before we get started, let me tell people a little bit about you. So Vivica von Rosen is co-founder of Vengrezzo, the largest provider of full-spectrum digital sales transformation solutions. Known as the LinkedIn expert, she's author of the best-selling LinkedIn Marketing An Hour a Day, and LinkedIn 101 Ways to Rock Your Personal Brand. She is a regular contributor and has been featured in Forbes, BuzzFeed, Inc., Entrepreneur, Selling Power, and the Social Media Examiner. And of course, your bio could go on for pages and pages and pages. But, you know, we want to talk about LinkedIn. So let's go back to the beginning. Why did you decide that LinkedIn was a passion that you were going to totally focus your efforts on?
Well, you know, it was pretty much the only thing around at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, honestly, it was a combination of luck and opportunity and coincidence, and there were a lot of mitigating factors as to why I chose LinkedIn. But truly, I was introduced to it in 2005, and I just mm-hmm. saw it as another business tool.
Right.
You know, it was pre-Facebook, pre-Twitter, pre all the social sites other than, I think, MySpace. Mm-hmm. So to me, it was just a business tool. Like, here's a way that I can reach out to a virtual audience the same way that I've been, you know, face-to-face networking to build mm-hmm. my business with a physical audience at mm-hmm. chamber events and things like that. So it was just another networking opportunity at the time. And then, you know, I started using it and realizing the power of it. I reached out to Jason Alba, who had written the only book at the time. He was very supportive and receptive. And, you know, fast forward, 2019, fast forward.
Hey, where are we?
Here we are.
You know, and it is a marketing tool. And I think that's what so many people forget. And, you know, and whether it's Facebook, now obviously Facebook we use a lot for personal use, but
right.
You know, if you're a business, you're using it as a marketing tool. And so it needs to match your personal branding, your business branding, all of those various things. And, you know, but we forget that. We're like, okay, we're here. We can do something different. So, you know, let's go back to that keyword of personal branding. Yep. Why is it so important to use LinkedIn to create a great personal brand?
There's several reasons. I think the most important one is, and this just came out from a stat from, I believe it was LinkedIn, that 62% of all B2B, mind you, B2B buyers mm-hmm. research their sellers on LinkedIn first. Mm-hmm. So if you are in, especially the B2B world, but if you're in business, if you're a salesperson, but if you're a business owner, an influencer, you know, a job seeker, mm-hmm. Just know that people are definitely going to look at your profile and judge you by it. And of course, part of that too is Google. When you Google someone's name, their LinkedIn profile is usually first, second, or third thing to show up. Mm-hmm. And having a non-existent or a relatively blank sheet of paper there, as it were, is really going to detract from your credibility. And right. So, like I always say, there's three types of profiles, right? There's a profile that's kind of neutral. Meh, it's okay. Yeah. It's not going to get me business. It's not going to cost me business. And then you've got the profiles that actually drive business your way. Mm-hmm. And then there's those that'll actually cost you business. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of funny because you'll get a lot of executives, especially who are like, you know, like I'm too cool for LinkedIn, and they don't realize is it's costing them, you know, it's costing them business and money, but it's actually costing their company money, and it could potentially be costing their salespeople as well. So you really have to take a little time. It's not a lot. Mm-hmm. Take a little time to develop your personal brand on LinkedIn. And it's free. You know, that's the other nice thing is whether you have a premium account or a free account on LinkedIn, nothing is turned on. You don't get extra things in your profile necessarily because you've got a premium account. So it's free. Mm-hmm. You just have to invest some time and it could make such a difference to your bottom line.
Right. You know, and let's go back to, you know, the fact that people research other people, you know, because we know that LinkedIn is best for B2B, but it is still person to person.
It is still person to person. Exactly.
And yeah. So many times when we're meeting with someone for the first time for a business meeting, we Google them.
Yeah.
Or more importantly, we go to LinkedIn.
That's right.
You know, depending on what it is. And like you said, if they don't have current information there, it's like, you know, we might still meet with them, but there's something that we're going into that meeting thinking,
I'm not so sure about this person.
And what I really hate is now if it's a profile that's just kind of the meh, it's like, okay, yeah. You know, but if it has errors or is out of date, I'm thinking, okay, is this to me now? Okay. Granted, I use LinkedIn a lot, and so I'm probably going to be a little more critical. But, you know, I do look at it and think, well, if they're not paying attention here, what else are they not going to pay attention to, as in my work, you know, whatever I'm hiring them to do?
That's literally, I'm laughing because we're redoing our online training system, and I was just recording the video about that. You know, and that's exactly what we have on our PowerPoint is, you know, if you don't care about your profile, actually it's your image on LinkedIn, but still, if you don't care about your profile, why would anybody else?
Right. You know, and we wouldn't go into a business meeting and hand somebody an outdated business card you know, give them a phone number that doesn't work anymore. So why do we think, you know, that LinkedIn isn't, and we need to realize they are looking at us on LinkedIn. And
absolutely.
It's so funny because, you know, we look them up and then we're surprised when they look us up.
Right. Exactly. Another thing we talk about at Vengresso is the modern buyer tends to be smarter than the modern seller because the modern buyer has been Googling since we've been allowed to Google, right? You know, for the past 12, 13, 14 years, if there's something online, if we're buying a car, if we're buying a gadget, we're Googling it first. And so, of course, modern buyers are very savvy when it comes to researching the product and the person that they're buying from. And unfortunately, modern sellers, you know, a lot of them, well, they're just sellers. They're not modern sellers. They haven't figured out that the activities of the modern buyer. And so, yeah, they're just sitting there with their with their nethers exposed on LinkedIn, as it were.
they're the emperor with no clothes.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You know, and the bad part is a lot of times we think we're okay, but if we haven't visited our own LinkedIn profile, which is of course, you know, a big problem, we don't realize that we're missing things that, you know, we were talking off the air before we started that LinkedIn made a change.
Yes.
You know, and a part of our profile that we'd really focused on, poof, has disappeared.
That's right.
Referred to in a different way.
But,
you know, you've got this great little ebook that people can download by going to vingrezzo.com. And it's called 7 Deadly LinkedIn Mistakes You Should Avoid. And it talks about, you know, things that are costing you business. So let's kind of go through a couple of these real quick. You know, so one of them is that you have little or no presence, just like we were saying. So it's actually better to have nothing as opposed to having the meh type of profile. But again, why would you have nothing? You know, it's free.
It's free. Exactly.
Now, I pay, and I'm assuming you pay, but that's what kind of the anomalies. The version that I pay for just gives me more of some of the features that it already has.
Right.
I saw a stat one time not long ago, and I think it said something like 86% of LinkedIn profiles are the free ones.
So you're certainly
not going to be missing out. So what are some of the other seven deadly sins?
Yeah, so make sure you've got a profile. As you've mentioned earlier, make sure that there's no blaring mistakes in your profile. Mm-hmm. I really recommend when you're creating a profile that you write it out first in a Word document, or Pages or whatever you use. But it'll catch spelling errors, grammatical errors. That way you can add formatting, bullets. You can see what it's going to look like. And you can use that full 2,000 characters. Mm-hmm. And that's another issue is people, just when you look at LinkedIn, it looks like you've got three lines. Mm-hmm. But realistically, you actually have 2,000 characters to tell your story. Mm-hmm. Another thing is people trying to be everything to everyone. Mm-hmm. I remember going to a networking event back when I went to networking events, and there were two women there. And this is more B2C, but it applies to B2B as well. There are two women there. And one of the women thought she was very clever and said, I can help anyone with a face. Mm-hmm. And, I do remember that line, and that's great. But like anyone, really?
Right.
And the other woman who sold a competing product, which was Arbonne, and her name was Deanna. And she said, I help women in their 40s and 50s feel more confident in business. And I went, oh, I'm a woman in my 40s.
Yeah. And I can refer you to people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. I want to feel more confident. I want to feel the best that I can possibly be. And, I signed up and I used her product for years and years and years. So don't try to be everything to everyone. Really know your buyer persona. Really know who it is that's buying your product or service. Mm-hmm. And then you want to create your profile to speak to them. Mm-hmm. And I have a lot of people go, well, isn't it better, like, the more generalized I am, the more people I'll reach? But the fact is, like I did with that Arbonne product, right? If I recognize myself in your profile, I will feel more aligned with your profile. Mm-hmm. I will feel more positive sentiment towards you. It will build that sense of know, like, and trust. And I'm much more likely to go with you than the person who can help anyone with a face, anyone with a computer, anyone, who breathes.
Well, and that's hard, especially for a small business owner, somebody just starting out, people like that, because they need money in the door. So they're thinking, I must cast that wide net. And the problem is, they're hitting a whole bunch of people, but if those people, and they might be spending a lot of time to only figure out, hey, they're never going to buy my product or service.
That's
Or refer me, it's better to go to 10 as opposed to 10,000 if the 10 are the people who are going to, I got to use my little visual aid here.
Yeah. That's right.
And I think that is hard because we do think I need to maybe not be everything to everyone, but I need to reach as many people as I possibly can. And we've talked about this on the program before, where you have to find that niche. Starbucks knows who it's selling to. Walmart knows who it's selling to. Amazon.
It's very different. It's a very different audience.
Right. Starbucks is not selling to my husband because he doesn't like, as he calls it, frou-frou, fancy, icky coffee.
Right.
He wants coffee.
Exactly.
And he's not going to want, and even if he walks in and orders their regular coffee, he doesn't like it. And so they're not marketing to him, which
that's
is always
right.
great fun if people give him gift cards, because then gift cards.
But, and then you get them.
Cool, because I am their audience. I like their fancy coffee. And Walmart is, they have a very, whether you like it or not, they have a very specific demographic
that
they are targeting. Now, it is a pretty broad demographic, but, it comes back to, you know, it's income, it's age, it's all sorts of things, location,
right.
You know, and all these things. So, you know, we need to take our lessons from them and figure out who we are reaching. And, you know, it's funny because the other flip side is that we do that as a business, but then we forget to do that as a person.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
You know, and this brings up something you and I chatted about this right before the program, and I wrote it down because I think it is so important. And that is our summary, you know, and we've been kind of talking about all those various things. We've got 2,000 characters. You're going to tell the story of your career, of your, you know, all these various things. But then there's a debate. And, it, you know, and I know that I'm going to have it with probably every guest that I have on the this month for these special LinkedIn programs. Do we write our summary first person or third person?
So I'm gonna push back a little bit. You know, no one cares about you.
Right.
And yet.
I know.
They haven't developed a relationship.
I'm crushed.
I care about you. I love you, Deb.
Okay.
No,
nice.
But
likewise.
Right? When a stranger comes to your profile, they don't care about you. They don't want to know about your sales history. They don't want to know necessarily, and I know I'm going to have a lot of people push back on this, they don't necessarily want to know your story yet.
Right.
What they want to know is, how can you help me? Mm-hmm. I have this issue. How can you help me? Mm-hmm. And so you really want to focus on your buyer persona, know who they are. And what I recommend when using the summary is in the first line, do something to attract your ideal buyer. And usually that means addressing a common question they have, mm-hmm. a common point of pain that they have, speak to them directly, mm-hmm. and then address how you fix it. And then you can tell a little bit more of your story in maybe the third or the fourth paragraph, but you want to focus on them, what their points of pain are, how you solve them, maybe give some examples, you know, either company names or industry types, and how you've built the business, how you've made customer service better, how you've helped with accounting, whatever it is that you do, show some examples of that. And then you could say a little bit about yourself and your company,
right.
and why they would want to work mm-hmm. with you. Because by the time they've read two or three paragraphs, they're bought in enough
right.
that they might
mm-hmm.
start to care who you are mm-hmm. and, you know, that you like hang gliding or walking along the beach at sunset, whatever
right.
that might be. And then give them a way to contact you.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. Right?
Even though it's in another place in LinkedIn, give it to them
yes.
so they can find it easily.
That's right. And so I'll come back to that in just a second. You're absolutely right. So it's hard to set up your profile, in my humble opinion. It's hard to set up your summary section. Speak to the person directly in third person.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, it's your audience. So if you've got a bunch of lawyers or doctors or traditional type industries in your audience, they are going to expect a third person.
Right.
Now, I recommend always first person because third person sounds really weird in mm-hmm.
It sounds like somebody else wrote it for you.
It sounds like somebody else wrote it for you. Exactly. And you know, it's great for a bio when you're being introduced on stage,
mm-hmm.
But you can put that somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely prefer first person. I know there are some cases where the audience is just so traditional that you're going to, or the audience or culturally some different countries are very, you know, are very traditional, and they're mm-hmm. if you're speaking to people in, you know, Norway, maybe a third person profile is better.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on your audience. This is a new change on LinkedIn. To your contact information. So it used to be that, you know, obviously you have to add your email to LinkedIn. That's how they know who you are.
Mm-hmm.
That's your sign in, right? But it used to be that only first level connections got your email address when you connected on LinkedIn.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is they would just go ahead and throw you on a newsletter list.
Right.
Right? And that drove me nuts. I was mm-hmm. I was put on 50 or 60 newsletters a week.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean,
every time
I
connected with somebody new, wham.
Yeah, wham, there you go. It's one thing, and I still don't think this is a good practice. You don't connect with someone and then just try and sell them something.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But you know, put me on your newsletter list without my permission? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. So LinkedIn recently, well, they made a couple changes to prevent that from happening. You can actually hide your email address even from first level connections. Mm-hmm. And that stops all this automated download, listing, et cetera, that's going on. Now, so I've done that. And mm-hmm. and now I only get like on 10 or 15 newsletters a week.
Right.
But if you go to my profile, you see my contact information like in the first three lines. So mm-hmm. if you're a human being and you want to reach out to me and ask me a question about LinkedIn or anything else, there's my email address. Go for right. it. Mm-hmm. You know? And so that's, to your point, definitely recommend putting your contact information in your summary section. Just realize it's public mm-hmm. In most cases. And so you don't want to put your, you know, the cell phone number you've had for 14 years or the your home address or anything like that.
That's what Google Voice is for.
That's exactly right. That's what Google Voice is right. for. You might want to have like a LinkedIn at yourcompanyname.com mm-hmm. or LinkedIn at, you know, LinkedIn Viv is mm-hmm. one of mine that I use at gmail.com. Mm-hmm. So that way when people reach out to me, A, I know where they're coming from. B, if it gets too spammy, I can always just shut that puppy down.
Right.
So, but make yourself contactable because some people don't want to connect with you just to ask you a question. Mm-hmm. Right, so you got to make sure that you're contactable right. too. So yeah, thanks for bringing up the contact mm-hmm. setting. Well,
and again, it depends on why you're on LinkedIn.
It truly does. Yeah.
You know, I was talking to a lady yesterday who is in the job market, and yeah. I told her, I said, you have got to put your information right there so that a yes. recruiter doesn't have to scroll and look and do all sorts of things.
Exactly.
And then I told her, you know, we were talking about the summary, and I said, you know, and you mentioned this earlier. When you first look at someone's profile, only the first three-ish lines show of your summary.
Yeah.
You
know,
and then you get the ubiquitous read more. So if you don't catch their attention in those first three right. lines, you've lost.
Bingo.
So I want to read people what yours says. It's 2019, and you've used these cool characters to emphasize 2019. It's 2019. Is it a goal of yours to win more business for your B2B company? Are you thinking 2019 is the year to start effectively using LinkedIn and social selling? Great. We can help. Right there, people either decided yay or nay as to whether they're going to read more. You know, and you can use that type of format no matter what, you know.
That's right.
For a great employee who does this, this, and this.
Exactly.
Are you looking for a team member, you know, a service or whatever, you know, are looking for
yep.
a good speaker. So right there, you have addressed their pain point, their need. And it's funny when we were talking about first or third person, both you and I use third person, you know, but I'm the same as you. I tell people first person is probably better. And you know, unless obviously it's their market. The lady I was talking to yesterday, I said, you absolutely have to use first person. I said, it would look really weird if you use third person, when you're looking for a job, because she needed to say, I can do X, Y, Z. And so, you
wait,
know,
wait, I don't use third person. I like listening to your talk. It's your goal. Is it a goal of yours?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's true. Yes.
Got any questions? Who we serve, what we do.
Sorry about that.
I'm like, wait a second. Right,
my little brain shorted out.
However, you know what you're looking at? You're mm-hmm. absolutely. So I use third person in my experience section talking
yes.
about mm-hmm. keynote speaking,
yep.
and mm-hmm. that's where you got
that's it. Yep, I've scrolled down. Yep,
because that's literally when someone says, "Hey, I need a bio," I go, mm-hmm. "Oh, go to my LinkedIn profile."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just pull it right from there yep. because then yep. they can read it and they're not having to go, you know.
Exactly.
And then you've got some other cool things in here, and you know, and you point this out in the Seven Deadly Sins ebook, but we also see it on your profile. You can't. There's a very limited amount of formatting that you can do.
Yeah.
And I hate that. You know, I don't know why we can't do bold and why we
bold,
can't
bold italics
and underline. Yeah, you know, those are three really simple things that
yeah.
you know, we should be able to do. But no, not so much. We can put in special characters, special
That's
alt
right.
characters, which is fun. I love those. But yeah. remember, sometimes if you know if you print it, might not you know might not.
That's right.
And capitalization. And then the other thing that you use that I absolutely positively love, and so people really need to look at your profile, lots of short paragraphs, white space.
Yeah.
It's easy to read, you know, and so it is something that takes time to work through, and you might need to hire somebody to do it for you because it is kind of a complicated process. But
yeah.
once you get it down, it's great.
That's exactly right. And we can help. Yes. You know, we can help in two ways. We've got another ebook that we can send out to people. It's not really an ebook. You don't even have to give us your email address or phone number. It's called The Ultimate Guide to LinkedIn. Now, don't be thrown by the title, The Ultimate Guide to LinkedIn Profiles for Sales Professionals. It's really for anybody. Right. It's just, we're very focused on B2B sales professionals. Mm-hmm. We're very clear that's our audience.
And let's be honest, we are all in the sales business.
We are. It's
just, whether we actually, like it or not, true. You know, we go sales, but yes, we are all in the sales business.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And so, and honestly, when we wrote this sales, or this, it's not a sales page. When we wrote this book, mm-hmm. I took it from my 101 Ways to Rock Your Personal Brand. So, right. You know, it's like 6,000 or 7,000 words. It's a big article or page, but truly it will walk you through everything we talked about today and everything that you actually need to do to build out your profile effectively. And if that seems like too much work, we can do it for you. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's one of the things we offer at Pengrowth. So,
I love the fact that you offer the service, and, you know, obviously there's lots of people out there that do it, but you guys, and let's take a step back a second to talk about the fact that you focus on sales professionals. Yeah. And I'm going to make the face again, sales, ew. Because, you know, but you specifically work with people who are in sales, which is one of the things that LinkedIn was designed for. So talk to us a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So obviously we're very clear on our audience, B2B sales professionals. Mm-hmm. And what we've... There's several different things going on, right? So first of all, when you have a larger company, your sales reps are representing your company. And, you know, it's like having 100, 200, 300, 400 little mini websites out there. Mm-hmm. Are they reflecting your company and your company brand? And the problem is when you go to LinkedIn and you're researching a company, the company itself really has no control over what the employee puts on their profile, mm-hmm. unless they actually give them a template, train them, or do it for them.
Right.
And so that's step one, right? We make mm-hmm. sure that the personal brand of the salespeople or any of the employees, it's not just salespeople, within a company is reflective not only of their own personality, but of the brand itself, so mm-hmm. that it's not costing the company business. Now, having said that, you know, the employee owns their profile. A right. company cannot make the employee do anything. Mm-hmm. However, we have literally done thousands and thousands and thousands of LinkedIn profiles for everyone from CenturyLink to Miller Heiman Group to Lubrizol to Lenovo, you know, and so we've done these profiles and we know what we're doing. And mm-hmm. so if, you know, it's an employee's personal choice, but if they, you know, if they choose to, we can make them look good and we can make their company look good. And that's the foundational piece to social selling on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. After that, we show them how to effectively reach out, connect, and engage with the right audience. And our little tagline is, you know, we create more conversations with your connections. Mm-hmm. We're not a sales training company in that we tell you how to sell. You know, right. Miller Heiman Group. Things, there's a yeah. lot of really good. Exactly. There's mm-hmm. a lot of companies out there. We don't want to compete with them. What we say is we get you to hello. Mm-hmm. We can get you to the phone call. After that, you know, you got to use your own mm-hmm. sales skills.
Right.
But that's it. We've just found that with a lot of these big companies, the salespeople are so missing out on opportunities to connect and engage and create conversations with their audience. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we solve.
Right. You know, and as you were talking about this, I was thinking, you know, it is more than just salespeople, you know, and it's certain pieces. You know, I was thinking the description of the company, you would want to be consistent across
yes,
your
exactly.
senior executives, across your yeah. sales team, across that's anybody right. who really is kind of that face of the business, you know, somebody who, you know, and now, you know, a junior level person that, you know, maybe not, but if you make it available to people and say, hey, you know, if you're on LinkedIn, here is how we'd like you to describe our company.
That's right.
I'm thinking, oh, hey, that's a cut and paste. Ooh, oh, okay, I'm done. yeah, you know, and so you've got that consistent messaging yeah. out there, you know, and you know, and then you show them how to do the, you know, the links if you've got the company page.
That's
you
know, right.
All of those various things. And again, it's not just the salespeople. It's anybody at the company.
Exactly.
And then
we focus on the salespeople because that's our personal, right. that's our buyer
but
persona.
But again, we're all salespeople.
But you're right. You know, the fact is, and I wish we could get everyone in all the companies we work with, all the employees bought in. And that's, you know, that's the CEO and the mm-hmm. CMO's, I guess, role. Right. Because people are going to show up depending on the completeness of their profile, but also the relationship to you. Mm-hmm. So you might not be a customer-facing employee, but guess what? When someone's researching the company, if you happen to be a closer relationship than the salesperson, your profile is going to show up first. Mm-hmm. And right. you know, that can be a real issue because now you're representing the brand and mm-hmm. there's a picture of you, you know, swigging a beer with your arm around mm-hmm. somebody and, you know, talking about whatever.
Right. Oh yeah. You know, and that, you know, that does lead me to the fact that companies, you know, if you have more than two employees, as in, you know, if it's just you, you're probably okay. But if you've got, you know, anybody else working with you, more than likely you do need a social media policy as yes. part of your HR handbook. You know, and this obviously isn't the forum to go into it, but that is where you say, you know, and you know, legally, yes, it's your profile, you know, whether yeah. it's LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, you know, all of the myriad of places, but you are representing the company. Therefore, yeah. no drunken debauchery pictures, no naked people. No,
that's right.
You know, and you know, and be aware that if you do, there could be ramifications, you know, and
that's
and,
right.
And you know, my one word of advice on this is don't try and create this document yourself. You might need, you know, you might actually need an employment law attorney who works with you on this. But you know, yeah. as part of that, it could also say, you know, if you have a LinkedIn profile, we have a paragraph for your description of the company. You know, could they modify it? Sure. It is their profile. But you know, the easier we make things, the simpler it is. That didn't make sense at all, did it?
No, it actually made a lot. Simple yeah. and easy is are two different things.
Right. Yeah. You know, and if you give me the paragraph about my company, I will yeah. cut and paste it. If I have to stop and think about it,
that's right.
More than likely I'll get it wrong.
That's exactly
and,
right.
You know, and we want to, you know, and if we're using it as, you know, the tools that we're using it for to build business, we want to have that information correct.
Yeah. That's that. Yeah, of course. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Now you also, you know, we talked about, you know, whether you're a sales team, whether you're an executive, all of those various things, mm-hmm. content and, you know,
yeah.
things like that. So, you know, we've got our profile rocks, right? You know, we've gone through all of your steps. We've got these great profiles. Now what?
Because that's only going to drive so much visibility.
Crickets.
That's right. That's exactly right. You know, and the thing is, LinkedIn has given us lots of content marketing opportunities from mm-hmm. LinkedIn publisher articles to posts to the ability to share not only links, but actual, you know, content now. Mm-hmm. You can leave voicemails using LinkedIn's mobile app. I mean, there's a lot of ways to share content on mm-hmm. LinkedIn. Truly, it only takes 1 or 2 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. And LinkedIn now, even on the company pages, which have been kind of bleh for a really long time, LinkedIn's like, oh yeah, company pages. Maybe we should
start beef those up.
Maybe we should start beefing those up and helping people share helpful, relevant content, not mm-hmm. just like, do you need a job? We got a job. You need a job? We got a job. You need a job? We got a job. It's like, or nothing at all. Mm-hmm. So, again, we're very focused on B2B and on sales professionals. So we changed our content marketing department into a content marketing for sales enablement Ooh. Department. Mm-hmm. And we really focus on the salesperson. You know, if you want content marketing to help create a bigger brand, you know, by creating really cool commercials, that's not our company. Mm-hmm. But if you want content that is specifically and strategically created to feed your salespeople on every step of the buyer's journey, and I actually say there's 7, not 3 steps to the buyer's journey, then hey, we can help. And so that is so crucial, is for the salesperson to realize when they are reaching out to their audience, whether it's a post, an update, a LinkedIn message, an invitation to connect, they need to address their prospects and or current clients and or past clients where they are right now. Mm-hmm. Do they need to know about your company? Great. Then you're in the awareness stage. You can send them more generalized information about your product, you know, what you do and how you serve mm-hmm. them. Are they in consideration phase? Awesome. Then give them some content that helps differentiate you from all those other folks out there. Do you need to spark a conversation? Then maybe you create some disruptive content, mm-hmm. right? Something that makes them go, what? And you right. see that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. On LinkedIn, you see people who've written a post that says something like, you know, LinkedIn doesn't work anymore. Don't bother with your LinkedIn profile. And of course, then they go on to kind of counteract that. In fact, I did a post like that. It got over 100,000 views. Like, content marketing is dead. What?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. Because, and so you give that disruptive. Are they a current client? You need to upsell, side sell them. Are they a current client? Do you need to, you know, support them so that they start referring you more? So you need, and this is all different types of content with different intentions. And you need to make sure as a marketing department that you are providing your sales team with the exact right content, so that they can deliver it one-to-one or one-to-many through posts mm-hmm. or through messages. So that is a really long answer. Right.
No, I love the idea of providing it to multiple people. You know, yeah. and maybe it's that this, you know, the CEO shares it or originally posts it, and then you share it from your other, you know, and I mean, you could be doing this on other sites besides LinkedIn, but, you know, so your CEO or your head of marketing or head of sales or whoever, yep. and then you share it on to your own connections, or you just, you know, you do it initially, you know, you've given, you know, you send out an email and you say, hey, here's a great article that, yep. that we wrote, that somebody wrote, that, you know, somebody, we'd like you to share it to all of your connections, all these yeah. things. And again, you've got consistent messaging.
That's right.
You know, all of these various things. And will there be some overlap of people who see sure. it more than once? Sure. But it's at the same thing, unless they're sitting there staring at yeah, LinkedIn,
exactly.
they're not going to see it. And people aren't going to post at the exact same time.
No,
so,
no.
And if it's a good enough article, that's okay. Yeah. It's like, oh, wait, oh, okay, I've seen this 4 times. Maybe I really should read it now.
Read it. It's, well, and what is it? 7? You have to touch 7 times before right. they actually mm-hmm. absorb anything. So good. Show it 4 times, right?
Right. You know, and,
yeah,
and,
yeah. No, that's exactly right. You know, you want that employee amplification, mm-hmm. whether you do it for free manually by sending an email out to all the employees going, hey, share this content, or you use a sales amplification tool like, mm-hmm. you know, LinkedIn Elevate, which is really expensive, or Gagalamp, or mm-hmm. we use Everyone Social, or you use even just a social posting tool like Agora Pulse or Hootsuite. Mm-hmm. But being able to feed your salespeople with the content they need, that's key. And you know, and marketers, and I'm marketing background. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm just learning about all the sales stuff. You know, as marketers, we feel that our job, and it is part of our job, is to develop the brand mm-hmm. and do whatever we need to develop that brand and create brand awareness. So we're, as marketers, we're not thinking like salespeople. We're not thinking about the seller, the buyer's journey. Mm-hmm. And we might even have different buyer personas, which right. would be a shame, but we might even have different buyer mm-hmm. personas to our salespeople. And that's a huge error. And I don't get this antipathy between sales and marketing. Like right. marketing wouldn't have a job if salespeople right. weren't selling their stuff. Mm-hmm.
And salespeople have to have the materials.
You have to have the right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So our thing at Vangresso is like, think like a marketer, sell like a salesperson, mm-hmm. right? And you have to align those two. And your sales department and your marketing department, they have to have conversations. You know, they have to cross that line. And they need to support each other, not be in competition with each other. They shouldn't be right. so siloed.
Right. You know, and of course, the important thing is typically when you do that, then you'll have the consistent messaging, because marketing had darn well better be able to give you consistent messaging. But yeah, if there's not marketing, then the salespeople don't have anything to sell. I mean, it's kind of like if you said there's no R&D. Well, you know, even if you're somebody like me and you're just sitting here creating a new product, I'm my own R&D department.
Exactly.
You know, no matter the size of your company, it does all have to tie together, and present that clear messaging. And some of it is branding. I mean, I'm looking through your posts that you have done on LinkedIn, which, you know, that is something you can do. You can go to anybody you're connected with and look at the things that they have posted recently. And you as a company have a very clear, you know, graphic standard. You know, here is And so
thank God, because me, myself, and I, when I had LinkedIn to business, oh my God, my graphics sucks.
It's kind of like we were saying at the very start. When people look at it, they go, even if they don't really think, "Ooh, this matches the color on their website," right? Nobody's going to think that, but. It does. There's kind of that subliminal thing.
That's right.
I was working with a client yesterday, and they have some upcoming programs, and they've called one program by different names. Mm-hmm. And so I said, "Do you have different programs?" And they went, "Oh, no." And it was one of those salespeople called it one thing, marketing people called it something different.
Oh my gosh. No. So we're going through the exact same thing right now, you know, so Cobbler's Children and all that, you know, we're launching this new program, which is, selling with LinkedIn, and then we'll have selling with Sales Navigator, selling with. Mm-hmm. But for the longest time, internally, we were calling it Vangresso On Demand, which means nothing to anyone. Right. And so, you know, the problem was internally we're calling it Vangresso On Demand. Our salespeople are hearing Vangresso On Demand. We still have some content here and there that says Vangresso On Demand, but the program itself is selling with LinkedIn. And so, of course, there's an immense amount of confusion within our own company. Mm-hmm. Well, if there's confusion within our own company, what's going to happen in the general public? Mm-hmm. So you hit a really important fact that we have got to make sure our brands are aligned.
Right. You know, and again, it doesn't matter the size of the company. I was developing a website for something, and I called something two different things. I'm like, okay, I've confused myself, which sometimes is not difficult. I was like, hey, where are we today?
You should really have that schizophrenia looked at.
I know. I have learned I got to write stuff down. I mean,
I know, right?
Getting older, just
It's just, I know, the memory, she's not so good anymore.
At least I can blame it on that. You know, it's probably
that's right. I'm a big fan of lists. I mean, I must have like 18 different like list and task apps on my phone.
I
know.
I handwrite it. I handwrite my list, my to-do
list.
Smart. And it's funny, you know, we'll digress here for a second. I've had several people on who've talked about lists and handwriting them. It's a different process in your brain. And so you remember it differently. But then of course I have learned that I need to write a bit more, because I'll look at it and go, what do you suppose that one word means?
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God.
Bob who? Bob what? Am I bobbing for apples? Okay, we really digress. But, you know, I'm going to have a segue. Speaking of words,
right?
One of the you know, words that went around last year and, you know, is transferred into this year is thought leadership.
That's right.
A great way for someone. Yeah. To become a thought leader. So what the heck is a thought leader, and how do we use LinkedIn to do this?
Yeah, that's such a great question. You know, and I'll use myself as an example. Was I the LinkedIn expert when I got the Twitter handle? No. You know, probably no one was at that point. However, having won that Twitter handle, as it were, I then had to prove it, right?
I had to live up to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, for the past 12 years. So it's anyone can claim thought leadership in their industry. Anyone can. Now, then you have to prove it. If you're going to claim it, you got to prove it, right? Mm-hmm. And so claim it, live it, prove it. And you can definitely use LinkedIn to showcase your expertise. Mm-hmm. You can use LinkedIn articles, although they kind of suck now, but mm-hmm. you can use LinkedIn articles.
I love them. But yeah, they changed it.
Yeah, I know. They were awesome when they first launched. They were mm-hmm. so awesome. But if you're comfortable, or if you feel you can get comfortable with using LinkedIn video, then the native video feature is still very powerful. If you're not comfortable with that, you can use the hot thing with on LinkedIn's algorithm right now is just uploading, not using a SlideShare link, ironically.
Which is SlideShare their company. Mm-hmm.
I know, right? But if you actually upload a PowerPoint presentation as a document and then describe what's in the document right now. So I uploaded a PowerPoint. Actually, it was that content marketing piece that I was telling you about. Mm-hmm. Content marketing is dead. I uploaded a small PowerPoint that we had created, and thank God I've got a graphics department. It was beautiful. If I had done it myself, it would have sucked. But I uploaded that document and it got over 100,000 views, you know, and that's, which is the most any of my content has ever done to date. So that's the thing with LinkedIn, like stay on top of what they just launched because they always give more algorithm juice to whatever it is. So when Publisher just launched, Publisher was getting all the visibility. Then native video launched, and native video was getting all the visibility. Mm-hmm. Now some of these other post features have launched, like documents, uploading documents. That's getting all the that's getting all the algorithm juice. So it's good to keep an eye on that and just play accordingly.
Right. Well, and you know the whole thought leader thing. Let's go back to that a little.
Oh,
bit.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
There is, it's funny. I opened up one of the thought leaders, you know, and as in Bill Gates.
Right.
And what I love about this, and he himself does this, that's been verified by, you know, several people. This is not, you know, his little PR people or somebody
right.
like that. He is the person who does this. He doesn't say anything in his profile, you know, until further on down about the company. He is the coach in his professional headline. He says co-chair Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation.
Right.
So that's his focus.
That's his
on
focus.
What he posts. And so
he doesn't going, really need to sell Microsoft.
I know. Microsoft goes off and sells itself. So he's using LinkedIn as a way to talk about nonprofit organizations that they like and or support.
Yes. Love
and
that.
And so it's fabulous. You know, and so this is a great way for a company leader. And again, you know, two employees or however many thousands Microsoft has.
Yeah.
The leader kind of sets the tone. And we didn't really talk about this, but, you know.
That's right.
He's showing his personal side here.
Yes. Now,
yes, we know that he is very concerned and is very giving about nonprofits and his philanthropic efforts, both through the company and then personally. But, you know, your head of sales, your C-level folks, all of those people, this is a great way for them to show what's important to them. You know, because I look at this and I think, okay, he really would be, I would be just totally tongue-tied, but he would be such a person I would love to meet.
Yes, right?
You know, and we look at some of the other C-level folks, you know, and, you know, the CEO-level type people. And we're like, that guy, that woman, you know, fortunately or unfortunately, there's not a lot of women CEOs, but, you know, and women do tend to be different. But we look at the guys, let's just lump them all together here. And, you know, they do tend to be, it's all about the company, it's all about money.
Yes.
And, you know, and you know, obviously, in most cases, it's not, but we don't get to that.
That's
so
right.
LinkedIn is a great place for those people to show, here is something that is near and dear to my heart.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you. I love that you bring that up, and I cannot remember the person's name, but it was such a great use of LinkedIn. He was an executive at a larger company, is an executive at a larger company, and you know, he of course he shares company stuff, but he is really really passionate about. I think he has Parkinson's, and so he's a huge Parkinson's advocate, and you know, he splits his commenting and engagement time on LinkedIn between his company and this initiative that he has with Parkinson's. And, you know, most people would say, oh, no, there's no place for that. But what it does is, first of all, show his compassion. He's an amazing person. He's an inspiration. And he, you know, if he had just been a sales dude or executive over at this big company, you know, whatevs. But he's really created a name and, again, that positive sentiment around his personal brand because of his advocacy. Mm-hmm. And so that you've nailed it. And Bill Gates is another example of that, is show the human side on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. Now, don't show yourself drinking beer and chugging, right. You know, that's not what I mean. But
even the Coors family didn't really do that.
Exactly. If they didn't do it, you shouldn't either. Right.
You know, and again, it doesn't matter the size. I mean, it could be, say, your local chamber chair or somebody like that. You know, you're going to see that and think, wow, this is a person.
Yes, and exactly.
You're doing it, because that is some of what
H to H, human to human, as Brian Kramer says, right?
Yeah. You know, we put people, you know, on a pedestal. And more importantly, we think they're unreachable, untouchable.
That's right.
And
right.
We see this and it's like, oh, wow, you know, this is something. And so, you know, can I reach out to Bill Gates? No, obviously not. But if it was, say, you know, a local chamber chair or something like that, I'm thinking, oh, this is a person that I can reach out to. And it gives me something that I can talk to him about. Now, it might not be an issue that I care about necessarily, or not that I shouldn't say it that way. That's, you know, I don't care about that. It might not be a passion for me. There we go. But, you know, it is something that I could say, oh, my gosh, you know, I see that you're very involved with, you know, here in Atlanta would be, you know, Habitat for Humanity.
Right,
Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
And then you talk business.
Exactly.
And so that's kind of where that comes in, is it is H to H. It's human to human. And
human
so,
to human.
You know, we need to remember that when we're writing our profiles, back to, you know, how you're writing your summary, who's your target audience, all those things.
Which is why I prefer first person.
I know. We're talking to another human. You know, we're not just saying, hey, we're out there. And, you know, and I may go back and change my summary.
It depends on your audience. It really
You know, and if funny, I like it. So, you know, for those of you who look at my profile, let me know what you think.
I just want to speak to one more thing that you said is the engagement piece, and people miss out on so much opportunity. They're sharing their content once a day. Mm-hmm. Let's say it takes them 2 or 3 minutes. But then they never look at the notifications. They never look at the people who,
did somebody say something?
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and is that person a prospect? Because now you have an excuse to create a conversation. Mm-hmm. To invite them to connect or to send them a message if you're already connected. And I will tell you right now, Mario Martinez, who's our CEO, he closed our first giant six-figure, we had a smaller six-figure deal, but he closed our first giant six-figure deal on a comment on somebody else's post to somebody else who commented. So, so someone else commented on somebody else's post. He responded to that. They connected. Mm-hmm. They continued the conversation in private messaging. They got on the phone. Oh, yeah. 6 months later, we closed a multi six-figure deal. Great. So a comment on an update, people. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, don't miss out on these amazing opportunities to create conversations with your connections.
Right. You know, and it is so important that we're looking at those things. Now, if somebody likes the post, you know, maybe
that's
not
a little harder, but,
but if they comment, even if you just say, hey, thanks,
you know,
anything that you're doing, because ultimately it comes back to building relationships.
That's right.
And if I get ignored, I'm thinking, well, I'm not going to comment to them again, you know, all these various things. And it's funny, because we're really like that on Facebook, right? She ignored But LinkedIn is the same thing, you know, and one of the things that we didn't talk about is you can tag people on LinkedIn, you know,
really want to get someone's attention, make sure to tag them in the update.
You know, if it's something that is appropriate, then it's okay to tag them. But, or, you know, maybe you have shared their article. So, you know, I might share an article from Bill Gates and tag him in it. Is he going to respond to me? No, you know, and, but, you know, you want to do those things. And so, oh my gosh, Vivica, we're almost to the top of the hour. I hate this because we're having so much fun. And like I said, we need to do this more often. And there are so many more things. I mean, you know, we touched on tagging. There's, you know, we didn't even really discuss a video. And I'll be honest, I have not
done
video at all. I haven't done, you know, I haven't tried to leave voicemail messages. All these way cool things that we absolutely should be doing through LinkedIn. But the important thing is that many people can learn how to do all of these things simply by connecting with you. So please tell us how they find you online.
Sure. So the easiest way to find me online, and please Google, keep this up. If you Google LinkedIn expert, my LinkedIn profile is the first thing that shows up. Always feel free to reach out to me through LinkedIn with the caveat. I've hit my limit. So please just tell me that you know, just customize the invitation and say, hey, I heard you on Deb's show. I will absolutely connect with you on LinkedIn. Our website is vengreso1s.com, V-E-N-G-R-E-S-O.com. And if you go to the team leaders, I'm one of them. You can reach out and connect. In fact, we can have a 15-minute conversation if you want to book some time with me. I'm LinkedIn expert on Twitter. I'm LinkedIn expert on YouTube. I'm LinkedIn expert on Instagram. So whatever is the social platform of your choice, please feel free to reach out or go old school. If you go to my profile, you'll see my email address is right there, vivica@vengreso.com. And I'm more than happy to connect, to have a conversation. That's what this is all about.
Right. You know, and it is about making those connections, building our networks, doing it strategically. And that's,
yes,
we didn't even talk about that.
I know.
And
Angela coming on, so she can
I know. We have another person that is from Vengreso who's going to be talking to us. So that's so much fun. But yeah, it's totally different for each person. Some people only connect with people they actually know. Some people will connect with anybody under the sun. You know, all these various things needs to be part of your strategy.
Right.
You know, and knowing who you want to connect with, especially if you're going to be using it a lot. Again, you don't want to be communicating with people who are like, yawn.
Exactly.
You know, and so, but you know, hopefully you're doing your posts or something that aren't yawn worthy. It's LinkedIn really has so much potential. And I see people, I've mentioned this all the time, I see people going more and more to it because we're getting a little Facebook overwhelmed.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you know, whether it's just quantity, whether it's what's being posted there, holy schmoly, all these various things. For business, we absolutely positively must be using LinkedIn, whether you're in sales, whether you're looking for a job, whether you're the head of your company or just, you know, somebody who's an employee somewhere, absolutely positively must be using LinkedIn.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You can't not anymore and expect to succeed in business.
Right. Well, one more time, it's vengreso.com, V-E-N-G-R-E-S-O.com. You'll find everybody there who's, you know, part of the team. I've interviewed Kurt Shaver. I didn't know that.
Kurt's a sweetheart.
Great team of people, lots of fabulous information. You guys have a great blog. You've got great resources. So even if you don't have the money to pony up, you know.
You don't have to.
At this point in time, there's great information.
Yep.
You know, we've got about a minute or two left. So what final piece and words of wisdom would you like to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, you know, when it comes to LinkedIn, personal branding, everything we talk, content marketing, content for sales enablement, everything we talked about, it always comes back to building the relationship. So you want to make sure that in your profile, you've got enough of your voice in how you share content, enough of your voice is showing through, and that you actually use these opportunities to reach out, to connect, and to engage, and to have those conversations. That's what it all comes down to. So what we used to do on the golf course, and we just don't have time to go play golf anymore or drive to the local chamber event, now we can use LinkedIn for that. But it doesn't take a huge time commitment. 15, 20, 30 minutes a day, you'll spend more once you start having more success and getting more business, of course.
Right.
But you know, even 5 minutes a day, guys, ladies and gentlemen, if you would spend 5 to 10 minutes a day on LinkedIn, it could really build your visibility, your brand, your engagement, your conversations.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, take 10 minutes away from Facebook and do 10 minutes on LinkedIn, and you will find the benefit.
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Great. Well, oh my gosh, Vivica, I can't wait to talk to you again. We're going to have so much fun the next time we do this. But until then, I've been having a great time talking with Vivica von Rosen. I'm Deb Creer, and everyone have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Business Power Hour, hosted by Deb Creer. Join us next time for more real-life stories and techniques to power up your business.
You've been listening to C-Suite Radio. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com. This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.